This is some good stuff. I commend the writer. Give us a lot of good seed thought here today. Amen. We're going to be studying about the call to be saints. The call to be saints. Everybody has a call. But the very first call that every Christian receives is the call to be a saint of God. That's our first calling. Amen. You may get other ministries that the Lord may call you to, but the first and the greatest will always be called to be a saint. Amen. Good to see you today. Thank you for being here, Sister Everett. Good to have you home. Amen. Bless you. Amen. We certainly appreciate Sister Everett. And our focus thought today comes from these words: the rewards of sainthood, many in the verse, all focus around joy. The final reward of sainthood is the entrance into the place of joy in the presence of the Lord. Our key verse comes from the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Note that phrase, called to be saints. That phrase just rings in my ears today. That's what you're called to be, every one of us here. That's our highest and greatest calling, called to be saints. Amen. And then our scripture text, our reading, also comes from the book of Romans, beginning with chapter 1, going through verse number 4. The Apostle Paul said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church that is in Sincera, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Acacia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed such labor upon us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amphilus, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Eustachius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, all approved in Christ. Salute also them of our Stabilis household. Salute Herodion, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Salute Trophenia and Trophosa. Now, I love those names. Sheree, if you ever have twins, we're going to name them Trophenia and Trophosa. Amen. Well, maybe not. Isn't that interesting? Who labor in the Lord, salute the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and mother of mine, and his mother and mine. Well, just to make sure we're here in the right spot. Salute Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermas, Petrobas, Hermes, and the brethren that are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Neresus and sister in Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Amen. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a new tongue. We're going to be able to say all those names. Amen. And so I guess. It's going to be fun, isn't it? Amen. I'm glad somebody stuck me with John. Or Johnny, that was never too hard. Seems like everybody can do that one. Columbia is Johnny. That's all right. I'm Johnny. I had another friend that called me Johnny. That's easy enough, huh? All right. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Anybody glad to be breathing here today? That's nice, isn't it? Amen. I went out to work a little bit this week in that house out in West Texas. And it is West Texas, and it's been there for several months, and they did have some sandstorms. There was some dust. Amen. And so the first 2 days I'd work about 5 minutes and breathe about 5 minutes. And, amen. And then it got a little easier. Amen. But I still got the sniffles here today, but we're going to get through all this here. Amen. Well, thank God that we have been called to be saints. There are churches that have used this word to venerate certain individuals to a place, really, of deity, and they ascribe to them certain powers and actually encourage people to pray to these individuals. Well, that's not what the Scripture intended, and that's not what the Bible means when it says called to be saints. Saints simply means the separated ones. That's what it means, the separated ones. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So anybody that has been called out of the world unto Jesus Christ, we're saints. Amen. And none of us are invested with supernatural powers apart from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost dwells in every saint of God. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, what the Holy Ghost can do is in you. Now, you do not have any power in yourself. Jesus said that, did he not? Jesus said, in me, that is in my flesh. He said, I can do nothing. My flesh has no more power than anybody else's flesh has. But he said, the Spirit that is in me, he does all these works. He did all the miracles. So the same Holy Ghost that was in Jesus Christ dwells in us. And that same Holy Ghost can do through you and I what it did through Jesus Christ. Do we believe that? Thank you. Anybody else? Amen? Do we believe that? One reason that we may not see more today is because we don't really believe that. Amen? When we're faced with a situation, sometimes our first thought is we'll call the pastor. Well, you got the same Holy Ghost I got. You have the same God I have. Your prayers are just as powerful and valid as my prayers. There's no difference in your Holy Ghost and my Holy Ghost. It's exactly the same. And God will do through you the same thing he'll do through a pastor or any other preacher. Amen. We need to really understand this today, don't we? Amen. We really need to understand this. I mean, my role as a pastor is to lead and to guide and to teach and to preach and to feed. That's what we're here for. But as far as my Holy Ghost gifts and your Holy Ghost gifts, yours, they're no different. Yours are just as great as mine. God can use you just as greatly in the gifts of the Spirit as he can any minister. We call them ministers. We're all ministers. We're all servants. That's what the word minister means. It just means servant. We're all called to be saints of God. We're all called to serve. Amen. The body of believers is made up of saints called, notice this word, to serve, to be faithful, and to sacrifice. That's what the call of a saint is. It's to serve, it's to be faithful, and it's to sacrifice. All of us have a calling to do these things. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us, isn't it? Amen. He He served, he sacrificed, and he was faithful. And so that's what our calling is. It's the same calling that Jesus Christ had, and that's the same calling that you and I have. Amen. So we are called to be saints. Amen. When we began this journey as new converts, we are all excited and joyful and thrilled and overwhelmed to be a part of the body of Christ. You remember what it was like when you first got the Holy Ghost? And my, you came into this great family of believers, and it was just the greatest thing. Ah, it's wonderful. But then as you grow and you look around and you see what other people are doing, and you make the mistake of comparing yourself with other people. And then you start feeling inadequate, like, you know, so-and-so does this, and another one does that, and this one does another thing. What am I doing? Amen. They're so important, but I'm not important. Well, yes, you are. Understand one thing. You don't join the church. I hear about people joining the church. You don't really join the church. You're born into the church. And if you're in the church today, Jesus said it this way. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. If you're here today in this body, it's because God put you here. You didn't just one day wake up and say, I think I'll just join the church today. Well, you can join a congregation of people just like you can join the Lions Club or the Kiwanis. You can join any church you want to join. You can write your name on somebody's roll. But you can't join the church. You've got to be born into the church. Amen. Born of the second birth. Amen. The Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name. You've got to be born into the church. So all of us are born into this church by the same Spirit. All of us are called to service. All of us have a place of importance. Sometimes we think, well, you know, if I'm not a missionary to the Congo, I'm not really doing anything for God. If you ever stood where I'm standing today, you would learn to appreciate the value of people just being faithful. One of the greatest blessings to a congregation and to a pastor is just people that are faithful. People that you can just depend on. Amen. Praise God. People that you can just depend on. You can just count on them. They're just going to be there. When it's church time, they're going to be on the pew. They're going to be sitting there. They're not just going to sit there. They're going to worship, and they're going to pray, and they're going to praise God, and they're going to sing, and they're going to get behind you. They're going to be faithful in their support. And when you see that, it's you sometimes, maybe as a saint of God, you may not understand how important that is to leadership. But I prize that so very much, and I commend you for your faithfulness. It means so very much just to have people that you can depend on. Amen. And to have people that whenever you ask to do something and they say, I'll do it, then you can just mark it off as done. Amen. Have you ever depended on somebody that didn't get done? And you went, oops. So then you understand how important faithfulness is, right? Right. And so then somebody just is faithful. You just... Now I say this, and I'm making a big deal out of it today because it is a big deal. It is a big deal. Amen. Over in our Sunday school wing, we have teachers, Sunday school teachers over there, have been Sunday school teachers for decades. And they're still doing it. And you know, I don't have to call them up on Sunday morning to make sure they're going to be there. They're just going to be there. Because they're faithful. They have a burden. They love God. They love children. Amen. And they love this work. I appreciate that. And then we have people around here going to make sure the church is clean, brother. Marshall always gets here early, and I hear that vacuum cleaner out there sometime going because somebody may have dropped the ball a little or something, but he's going to make sure. Amen. Got the Windex bottle out, spraying the front doors, getting all the smudges and fingerprints off. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Amen. I appreciate those of that clean and everything that goes on around here. It happens because of faithful people. That's why it gets done. And that's part of being a saint, isn't it? Praise God. Praise God. I like that. Amen. You know, when you take ownership in something, then you're really a part of it. Until you get a hold of it and you take ownership in it, you don't really feel a part of it. Amen. But, you know, when you look around and you see a piece of trash that needs picking up, and you don't think, well, somebody else will get that. But you think, this is my church. I'll get that because this is my church. And you take ownership and you take some godly pride, if I can use that word, in it. And you just, it becomes important to you. That's all part of being called to be a saint of God. Encouraging and speaking kind words and greeting visitors and encouraging the saints of God. And that's all a part of it, isn't it? That's just being called to be a saint. Amen. And that's who Paul's writing to here. The beloved body of believers. The Scripture said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit." We all have the same. I love the book of 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about the body. And you know, the body's made up of many members, but it's just one body, isn't it? And everybody's important. You have parts of your body that you don't even know exist. But you better believe it's important. Now, some of that little stuff on the inside that you never think about and you'll never see. Pray to God you never see. Amen. But it's important. If it gets a little out of line, and it's not doing its job, guarantee you won't be long for the rest of the body's going to know it. Amen. And this body's like that. And we don't always think that way, but we are the body of Christ. And what each of us does, and if we don't do our job, what the Lord put us in the body to do, then it does affect the rest of the body. Oh, it won't fall apart. This is, the Lord said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church is not going to fall apart because of one person. But it does affect it. It does affect it. It could be better if we all do our part, you see. That's when the body's healthy and it's whole and it's doing its part. So we're all important today is what I'm trying to get us to really, 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 really understand. The devil doesn't want you to think you're important. He wants you to put yourself down and not feel like you count, and that you don't really matter in the body of Christ. But that's not true. It's not true. You really are a part of the body of Christ because He put you into the body and with a purpose. All right. Now, we are all baptized. The Scripture says we're baptized into the body. That how you get into Christ? You're baptized into Christ. Again, that's why it's so important that we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the family name. I was born into a family. That family was named Grissom. And so my family name is Grissom. I have two other names that separate me within the family of Grissom, but I'm in the Grissom family. Amen. Now, when I got into the Church of Jesus Christ, then I added to my name. So my full name is Johnny Darrell Grissom Jesus. Amen. And those other three names really are insignificant in comparison to my last name, Jesus. Because that's my heavenly name. Hallelujah. That's the one that put me in the fellowship of the saints and the great family of God. I'm baptized into this. I was baptized in the water. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's how I got into the body of Christ. So you're baptized into this body today. Amen. And it's a stable family. Amen. Have you learned that not all families are stable in the world? But if you are baptized in this body, you've got a stable family. Amen. You've got a family that's established. You got a daddy that's going to be there. Praise God. The Bible said he's the everlasting father. This one's not going to, he's not going to wig out, amen, on his responsibilities. But he's going to be there. He's going to be your provider. He's going to be your protector. He's going to be your counselor. He's going to be your friend. He's going to be constant and consistent, and you can count on him. Thank God for this family that we have today. And we got brothers and sisters. Anybody here got any worldly brothers and sisters? I grew up in a family with seven children. They saved the best to last in my family. But I grew up in a great family. I love my brothers and my sister. Amen. And what a privilege. We didn't always get along. We had some disagreements along the way. Amen. But as we grew older and matured, it got better. Amen. And it's the same in the family of God. You're not always going to agree with your brothers and sisters, but they're still your brothers and sisters. I don't know how it was in your family, but in my family, you know, I could say something about one of my brothers or my sister, but you better not. It was different. I can say what I want to say, but you better hold your tongue when you talk about my family. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the way it, and in the body of Christ, you know, we're going to have some disagreements. It's just going to happen. We're human beings. We have different ideas. We have different temperaments and personalities. But still, we're part of the same family. And it's important that we are part of the same family. Paul called his family, he said, my beloved in the Lord was one of the things he called them. Beloved in the Lord. Amen. And so he had great respect. Five times in the epistles, we are called upon to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I edit that a little bit. Amen. Salute one another with a holy kiss. Amen. Churches of Christ salute you. Amen. Now, the kissing part is a little bit open to culture and custom. In Bible times, they literally did kiss one another on the cheek. In Colombia and other countries, in Europe, they really do what they call, it's really an air kiss. They make a smacking noise, but they don't really touch you. And it's a custom. In the United States, we shake hands and hugs. At least we did before we got germophobic. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I think it's still a good thing to greet your brethren. Greet your sisters. Amen. Now, the main thing is that you have godly affection one toward another. There's a lot of different ways to express affection. I know some families are real touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy. There's others that may not be as physically expressive, but it doesn't mean that they love one another less. Just we have different ways of expressing our affection one to another. But the main thing is that we are affectionate and we do love our brothers and sisters. We do love the body of Christ. Amen. So it's important. Some people express their actions better with or their love better just with their actions. It's what they do. You know, somebody may not be going around saying, I love you, 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 love you. Amen. But, you know, you just, the things they do, the way they treat you, you just know that they do. You understand what I'm saying? And some of those that are stuck on love you, love you, love you, love you, love, love you, their actions don't always say what they're saying. So it's about being real and genuine and really loving one another. So we're called to be saints. We're called to serve, the Scripture says. Amen. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, 28. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus then is our example. Isn't that right? He is our example. And then in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, let this mind be in you, which also was in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So if Jesus then, being God, manifest in flesh, would surrender himself to the role of servanthood, then that's our job today also, isn't it? Is to serve one another. The Bible says to serve one another in love. Amen. Serve one another in love. So it's important that we get that attitude. We can never truly be ministers of the Lord without having a servant attitude. Amen. And understanding that your greatest joy, some of your greatest joys are going to come in ministering and helping and serving other people. Jesus said, he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. Amen. And so it's important that we learn that lesson. In Scripture we were introduced to Phoebe, and it says that she was a servant to the church in Sincara. And she served and she helped people. That's what she did. She served and helped people. And she's here it is. How long? It's been 2,000 years ago. And here we are in 2012, still talking about Phoebe. And people down through 2,000 years of time, churches through all of the ages, they've talked about Phoebe. Saints, millions and multiplied millions of saints that read the Bible have read about her name and her service to the church in Sincara. So she's an example to us, just of somebody. We don't really know what she did. As far as I know, she could have been a pastor. I don't know if she was. I don't know what she did. But I know two things about her. I know, first of all, that she served and that she helped people. And those are the two things that God said, I'm going to make sure her name gets in this book because I want her tribe to increase. He wanted to make sure that we knew about this attitude, spirit, actions of Phoebe. If we were writing the Bible today, I know some other people whose names would be in there because you've served and because you helped. And everybody's name's not in the book, we know that. But Paul is just commending certain people that it came to his attention that he wanted to remember in a very special way. So he said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who's a servant of the church that is in Sincara, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So she not only helped a lot of others, he said she helped me too. And Paul was remembering her kindness. The word succor is a fancy word for help or helper. What is it in Spanish? It's recovery. Socorro, right? Socorro. It means help. So if you're ever in a Spanish-speaking country and somebody's saying, socorro, socorro, socorro. Amen. Get some help. That's what they're saying. So it's a helper. Somebody that comes to help. That's what that word means. And so it can mean somebody that's a help, somebody that's an attendant, somebody that's a waiter. It also in the Christian church became known as a pastor, a deacon, a deaconess, a minister. She could have been any of those things. We don't know. All we know is that she helped and she served. And she was faithful. That's what we know about Phoebe. And that's what got her name in the book. And that's what got your name in the book and what's going to keep it there. Amen. Is your desire to help and to be faithful and serve. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says this, "For we are laborers together with God." You're God's husbandry and you're God's building. Notice these words, laborers together with God. Laborers together with God. I like that phrase. Amen. Never said they with God. Sometimes we talk about working for God, but it's a lot better to work with God. I've known people to wear themselves slap out working for God. Amen. And get discouraged and even bitter working for God. But it's a lot better to work with God. Because if you work with God, then you don't have burnout nearly so bad as if you're just working for God. Amen. And so, but we're co-workers. We're laborers together. Laborers together. And so we're all in this together. We're not in this by ourselves, but we're all working in this all together here today. So we're, let's see if I can go back here. I miss these lovely people again. Salute to Trophenia and Tryphosa, who also labor in the Lord. And salute the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Now, I don't know how much we ought to read into that, but he does again commend these two people. Sounds like twins. I don't know if they were or not. Sounds like it. Amen. Trophenia and Tryphosa. And he commends them for their labor in the Lord. And then, but he brings somebody else and he said, Persis, he said, which labored much in the Lord. Now, I don't really know if he's just, rather than just repeat the same thing, if he just adds a little bit more to it, if it's a grammatical statement, or if he's making a little differentiation. It is a fact that some people work harder than others. It is a fact that some people sacrifice more than others. It's just a fact. It's just a fact that some people do more than other people do. So I don't know if he's making that differentiation or if he's just mentioning somebody else. But then he also mentions a couple of more people here, Priscilla and Aquila. We find them in the book of Acts, chapter 18, in the city of Corinth. They were fellow tent makers. And so Paul, I don't know if he got to know them making tents or what, but then they came to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. And these were commendable Christians. Commendable Christians. These people had apparently a wonderful spirit. There was a man in Corinth, and he was a mighty preacher, a mighty orator. I mean, he was a beloved. He was a great speaker. And these two people, Will and Priscilla, the Bible says they showed him the way of the Lord more clearly. In other words, he lacked some things in his understanding. Maybe he wasn't preaching all the doctrine. And they took him aside rather than said, if you ain't got what I got, you ain't got nothing, brother. They took him aside. And they said, Apollos, man, you're a good preacher. I like what you... But then they showed him that there was more to it than what he was preaching. And they saved the soul, and they added a great minister to the body of Christ because of their attitude and the way they handled things. If somebody doesn't have everything you've got, don't tear down what they do have. Build on it. Don't take away what they've got. Build on what they have. Didn't the Bible say that that the first thing we've got to do is to believe that God is? I mean, if people believe in God, they got something to work with. Just start right there. Don't take it away. Said, y'all ain't got nothing. Well, yeah, they do. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus Christ. Hey, we got a lot of work with here. Let's go with it. Start where they are. Add to it. That's what they did. Great Christians, these people. Amen. And then, come along now. Amen. Called to be saints. Called to be, what's that word? Faithful. There it is. It's one of my favorite words. Called to be faithful. Amen. I love that. The longer I live, the more I love that word, faithful. And the more I learn to appreciate people that are. Amen. Those of you that are here today, you know, y'all are especially. You're a special bunch because a lot of people, you know, they call us holy rollers. You know what really a holy roller is? A holy roller is one that wakes up on Sunday morning, looks at the clock, rolls over, and goes back to sleep. They had a thought about coming, but they just couldn't quite get here. Amen. That's a holy roller. Well, that's one interpretation. But you didn't roll over and go back to sleep. You got up. Amen. Got ready, got dressed, and got here. Thank you. Faithful. Faithful. Amen. God can build a church on faithfulness. Amen. God can build a church on faithfulness. So faithfulness is a great, great thing. Amen. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Notice that, in their house. For the first 200 years, they say, historians say, that the Christian church did not have church buildings, but they met in public places and in people's houses. Amen. You know, we may have to go back to that someday. Could that happen? Could that happen? It could happen, couldn't it? You know, something really interesting happened this last week. We were almost forced into accepting abortion and contraceptives. We came just in one tiny step and being forced into that as a church. And when our leadership can begin to force things like that, then they can begin to try to chain the pulpit. They already have in Canada. If you mention homosexuality or lesbianism from the pulpit in a negative way, that's considered a hate crime. And you can be arrested for that. And we're headed there in the United States of America. We're not far from it. We almost lost a lot of our liberty, and perhaps we did. This is not over yet, but it causes me a lot of concern. Because now, by presidential edict, insurance companies have to pay. Why? If they can step into one business and tell you what you have to do, and they can step into another business and tell you what you have to do. And then they can step into the church and tell you what you have to do. So we're on a slippery slope here, folks. We need to keep our eyes open, be attentive to what's going on around us, and be very, very careful in future days. Amen. And so it may come down again. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen. But it could be that we're going to get back to some house church. Would that be okay? It'd be all right with me. That's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. Praise the Lord. We may have to have a lot more services in smaller groups in people's houses rather than meeting in a building. But it's still the church, isn't it? Nobody even knows but God how big the church in China is. But I guarantee it's multiplied millions of people because they don't have church buildings. They can't assemble in church buildings like we do. They have to assemble in homes. Amen. And they tell me that, and I haven't been to China. I'd love to go someday. But they tell me that they'll get together and they'll play volleyball outside while those inside are having church. Make enough noise to cover up what's going on inside. And then they'll swap, and these in here go out and play volleyball while somebody else has church. Amen. But there's ways to have church. We just don't need to get blocked into one little old thing. Amen. And so I don't know what the future is, but I know one thing. It's in God's hand, and the church is not going to be defeated, and it will not be destroyed. Amen. If we have to do it a little differently, that's okay. We'll do it differently. Amen. Don't get ever married to a structure and an idea and a preconceived conception. There's a lot of ways to do things. And if we have to go a different direction, we will. Amen. But the church is going to stay alive and it's going to thrive. Amen. All right. It's a challenging day that we're living in. Salute Andronicus and Junia. Notice he says, my kinsmen. These must have been kinfolks. And an interesting thing, my fellow prisoners. Amen. They also got in jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fellow prisoners. Who are of note among the apostles. They had a great rapport with the leadership. Who also were in Christ before me. He said, in the body of Christ, they're my elders. They were in the church before I got in the church. So he's commending these very special people and giving them honor. And I think that's just such a great thing. Amen. And here they are years later, and they've been through prison. They've been through a lot of stuff. And they're still serving the Lord. Amen. Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. He said, know ye not, but they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Amen. Make up your mind when you start this race that you're going to finish this race. Amen. You're not just running to be running, but you're running to obtain. At the end of this journey, an incorruptible crown. Amen. The scripture said, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I all the churches. In other words, God gives different gifts to people. He gives different abilities to people. Amen. And I think it's very important. I was thinking this morning that cooperation, not competition, is the right attitude. Christians. You know what I'm saying? If we're not careful, we get competitive. And we think so-and-so's doing this, and can I do this? Now, I've seen this happen. People try to out-sing one another. People try to out-play one another. I've even seen people try to out-pray one another. Competition gets into it. That's never the spirit of Christ. This is not a competitive body. It's cooperation. You know what happens to your physical body if it gets competitive? If certain cells in your body say, well, we're going to take over this thing. You're in trouble. They call that cancer. And it'll kill you. When your body gets competitive instead of cooperative, you're in trouble. But as long as it's cooperative, everything's fine. We are called to be cooperative in the body of Christ, not competitive in the body of Christ. So you don't have to beat anybody here. You don't have to be better than anybody here. You just be you. Just do your part. When you pray, don't try to outpray somebody. Just pray to the Lord. When you try to worship, don't try to worship somebody else. Just worship how you worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whenever we preach, don't try to out-preach one another. Just do what you do and what you can do and what God gave you. Amen. And just each one adding their gifts to the body of Christ with gratitude, thanksgiving, and doing our part to serve the Lord. Amen. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Saints are called to sacrifice. Amen. And we are that. We're called to sacrifice. Praise the Lord. He talks again about Aquila and Priscilla, now that they laid down their own necks, he said. Amen. I mean, they you talk about sticking your neck out, that's what they did. They stuck their neck out for Paul when he was in prison, and they were there for him. And you don't forget people like that. You don't forget people like that. You know, whenever you're having hard times and tough times, and you're not carrying on about it, but you're just having a hard time, and somebody steps in and just does something a little special, you remember that, don't you? Amen. You remember that. Whenever you're going through hard times and somebody's there for you, it means a lot. It really does. Amen. And so he remembers these people that were with him in some difficult times. He said, salute Andronicus, Junia, and we've already covered these folks who were his kinsmen, his fellow prisoners, amen, and noteworthy among the apostles and faithful because they'd been in the church for a long time, continued to serve God. And guess what? There's going to be a reward for being a saint of God. Amen. And that's okay, isn't it? We love the story of David, but did you know one of the questions David asked before he went to meet Goliath? He said, what's going to happen to the guy that whoops this man here? He was interested in the reward. It's okay to be interested, and God's faithful that he's going to give you a reward in the end time. You're not laboring in vain. God's going to give you something here. And humanity works for reward. We just do. Amen. There's two ways to get people to do things. One way is by force. And it works for most people. Some people would rather die than give in, but some people are forced all the time to do things. And the other way is reward. Amen. A number of you here today are employed. But if you're not going to get a paycheck, and they said, I'm sorry, we'd love for you to keep working here, but we can't pay you anymore. How many of you would just keep laboring because you love your job so much? Thank you, Brother Marshall. I don't think you're telling the truth. Amen. If he don't get paid, your mail ain't coming. Amen. Because we work for reward. All of us do. As a matter of fact, we'll work harder for more reward. Amen. That's called overtime. Amen. But you know what overtime is? That's time and a half. Or double time. And you know why you're willing to do it? Because it's more reward. But you take reward away and you take productivity away. I read recently, and Brother Marshall also shared this with me, that there was a professor that was teaching socialism in his class. And, of course, a lot of his students thought that was this equality thing was the way to go, that everybody shares equally. And he said, well, let's try it here in the class. He said, we don't have money, but what we'll do is we'll just do it with grades. We'll all take a test. And we'll average all of them together and everybody gets the same grade. And they said, okay. Well, first test, you know what the average was? A B. Those that worked hard said, but I studied. I got an A+ on this. I didn't miss anything. And they were upset. And those jokers that didn't study at all say, hey, this is a gravy train, man. I got a B. I didn't study. I got them all wrong. Still got a B. Another test came. Guess what? Those that studied hard said, what's the use? So everybody got a C. And the guy that got a B last time not studying said, what's with you jokers? I got a C this time. And then it was a D. And every student flunked the course. Not one got a passing grade. You know why? Because they took away the incentive of reward. Human beings thrive on reward. We just do. And if there's no reward, we just cease to do our best. It's just a fact of life. Amen. But the Bible said we're going to get a reward, right? Amen. Let me rush along here. But we've got a promise of rewards. One is eternal life. Paul said this. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. See, we've got a promise of a reward, don't we? At the end of this journey. I don't think most of us are doing it for a crown. I know I'm not. I've never had a crown before. I hardly even wear hats anymore. Amen. But you know what I'm doing this for? Because I want to see Jesus. Amen. I want to see His face. I want to meet Him in peace. I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. That's what the real reward is here. I think for the most of us, we're just looking forward to seeing Jesus. Amen. And as the songwriter said long ago, Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. Without Him, none of that other stuff's going to matter. It'd be great to be in a place where there's golden streets and gates of pearl and it's got 12 different foundations of precious stone and all the things that heaven's going to have, but what's really going to matter is Jesus is going to be there. Let's stand together today and let's worship Him, shall we?